Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study which evaluated the challenges of incorporating evidence-based practice with athletic training students. Evidence-based practice, or EBP, has become increasingly important as healthcare professions have evolved. Athletic training has been no exception, as the release of the fifth edition of the Athletic Training Education Competencies has placed specific emphasis on incorporating EBP in the curriculums. Clinicians in a variety of healthcare professions have reported challenges in using EBP. This struggle, coupled with the importance of students interacting with their clinical preceptors to learn EBP, is why the authors of this qualitative study wanted to identify common barriers that clinical preceptors encounter when trying to implement EBP in clinical practice and teach EBP to athletic training students. The authors identified 16 preceptors who had at least 1 year of experience with an undergraduate athletic training education program and indicated that they utilized the five steps of evidence-based practice. The interviewer used a semi-structured set of questions during the phone interviews, which were recorded and transcribed. The authors identified two main themes regarding the barriers to clinical integration of EBP and how preceptors view the emphasis placed on EBP in educational curriculum. With regards to barriers to clinical integration of EBP, preceptors noted that time, financial restrictions, availability of relative information, and lack of knowledge kept them from using EBP both clinically and with students. Additionally, preceptors identified personal challenges as a barrier, meaning preceptors felt that their working relationships with other staff, coaches, physicians, etc., impeded them from implementing EBP. Furthermore, preceptors indicated that older students, junior and senior level, were more receptive to implementing EBP as a result of their improved clinical experience. From an educational perspective, preceptors noted that improvements to academic programs and communication could help EBP become a more substantial part of the curriculum. More specifically, the authors noted that a better connection between clinic and classroom, as well as improved communication between clinical staff and educational faculty, may be beneficial. There's a disconnect between increased emphasis of EBP in athletic training education curricula and its integration by clinical preceptors, apparent even among clinicians who were chosen because they utilized EBP. Of specific concern is that these clinicians cited working relationships with other healthcare professionals as a barrier to implementing EBP. The entire sports medicine team must support the use of EBP for it to be fully integrated into our medical practice. However, it's understandable that these preceptors struggle with colleagues to implement EBP when their colleagues and themselves have limited resources such as time and money to access the latest evidence. Additionally, the authors noted that preceptor training appears to be a common place where EBP is discussed, but a better connection needs to be made between clinic and classroom. As athletic training education continues to make a shift to separate clinical staff and educational faculty, and as the diversity of practice settings outside the traditional college athletic training room evolve, it will be imperative that communication remains consistent between those teaching EBP in the classroom and those integrating it into the clinical experience. This past week, we also had two other posts on sportsmedres.org, that's res.org. The first post reported that over 1 year, high school baseball players had no bony changes as in humeral retroversion in their dominant arm's humerus, but had decreased shoulder internal rotation. And the second post was a report that corticosteroid injections and structured physiotherapy are not associated with improved patient-reported measures of pain and disability following 1 year of treatment. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a meta-analysis of randomized clinical trials that found double-bundle ACL reconstruction resulted in better stability and objective scores compared to the single-bundle reconstruction. However, the meta-analysis did not find any differences in patient-reported outcomes. We also reported a second study that found massage therapy may provide immediate effects for neck and shoulder pain, but was not better than other active therapies. Additionally, we shared a popular post from the Athletic Medicine page that offered recommended readings for the month of March. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.